While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Argentina, Javier Milei, always in the news spectacularly, the man with the chainsaw now cutting down the scale of the Argentine government. Many years, many ministries are now missing. However, at the same time, Milei is sensible to the fact that he needs international attention all the time because it's going to take, well, I don't know how long to cure what's wrong with Argentina, inflation and the Peronistas, the Kirchneristas, a lot of bad actors circling around Milei. And therefore, how wise of him to schedule a meeting with Elon Musk. Professor Elon Musk, this is the same one that we just left in Brazil, looking to confer with Javier Milei. Now, I know this doesn't necessarily come to a Tesla facility. I note that Musk met happily with Giorgia Meloni in Italy last year, as a matter of fact, during a festival she was holding. So he's an international diplomat and a man with a keen sense of profit. Milei is the same thing. This looks like a very happy meeting scheduled. But at the same time, Milei remains under pressure from all other players, especially Gustavo Petro, because of an insult some weeks ago. Milei is under pressure because there are followers, devotees, opposition members in Caracas who have sought refuge in the Argentine embassy and are looking for safe passage to Argentina. The meeting with Musk, is this a happy moment? Do you see anything negative about this for Milei?
Well, this will certainly be a very positive meeting, John. The broader news, of course, is that this is a Milei trip to the United States. It's going to include a stop in Miami, in which Milei will receive an award for being what is called an ambassador, international ambassador of light by a Jewish community there for his support of Israel and thus far in his presidency. He's also going to give what will probably be a fairly important speech to Florida International University, and he'll meet with the Inter-American Development Bank president, Brazil, by the name of Elon Goldfahan. He will then go to Texas and you'll have the meeting with Musk. Again, Milei and Musk are both, as we've talked about, iconic figures. I think there will be a business angle in that Tesla needs lithium batteries. Argentina has a lot of lithium. And so how can they work together? But I think there's also a personal chemistry of these two men who in very different ways are both very outspoken and very iconic. So I think that will be, in the end, very, very, very positive. But I think it also illustrates the degree to which we're getting into a certain amount of ideological tribalism here. So, we've seen previously that Milei had spats with AMLO in Mexico and Gustavo Petro in Colombia. And of course, we saw how AMLO tried to condemn the activities of rightist Daniel Noboa in Ecuador. In many ways, I think you're beginning to see a bit of a kind of clubby behavior a convergence of, okay, who are our friends here? So I think there is a logical opportunity for collaboration between, against libertarian pro-market Javier Milei, coming from a country that has a lot of lithium, and an iconic, again, pseudo-libertarian free speech advocate, tech entrepreneur Elon Musk. So I think it's going to be very positive, but it shows also some of the complex divisions that we now have within Latin America and in politics more globally.
An anecdote, odd. China, the People's Republic of China, has what is ostensibly a space-oriented outpost in Patagonia. They use it for communication as you in orbit with its satellites and space stations. The agreements, as I understand, that were signed by previous governments allowing China to build on Argentina was that Argentina would have access to, I think, 15% of the station. or something similar to that, giving Argentina transparency on otherwise what is non-transparent. It is striking to me that Milei, who has not pulled back from the deals with China and China's investment in Argentina, at the same time is challenging China's understanding of itself as the master empire that can go anywhere at once with its big money. And I'm wondering if this also means that Milei is not just balancing China versus, say, the United States, but also looking to make a name for himself as somebody who can't be pushed around. How do you read this listening post, Chinese listening post? It could be anything. You don't know. The PRC practices all kinds of hacking activities that are worldwide. How do you measure Milei going up against China?
Well, to me, Malay's way of navigating this in terms of business versus politics is somewhat misunderstood. But for me, it's relatively consistent. On the one hand, Milei has said that to the extent that the People's Republic of Communist government is communist, he is not going to politically align himself with communists. He has also said that he is adopting a very clear pro-U.S. and pro-Israel posture. Now, one of the big concerns that the United States has long had has been the Chinese, what's actually a huge deep space radar that the Chinese built in a remote part of the province of Neuquén. And that could be, it has legitimate purposes for communicating under a rotating Earth with Chinese objects in deep space, but it can also potentially be used in times of war or other things for strategic purposes in what will be a space battle that accompanies any conflict between China and the West. And so what had happened is the previous government of Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, going way back now, had signed this deal with the Chinese. It was a very non-transparent deal, which basically said, okay, you come in with your CLTC, basically an organization that is part of the strategic support forces of People's Liberation Army of China, who basically operate this facility. Now, technically, Argentina gets about 10%, I believe, or maybe less dish time, but they do not have a regular ongoing presence in the facility to see what the Chinese basically army is up to in the operation of the station, whether it's always scientific, as it says, or whether they're doing other things within this facility. And so essentially, when the previous conservative government of Mauricio Macri came into power, he reviewed the contracts that had been signed and said, well, don't like this, but it doesn't appear contractually there's anything we can do to get the Chinese out without creating a big spat. What Milei has basically found is an aha. Again, understanding the U.S. concern, understanding that he wants to do business with the Chinese, but not necessarily politically ally themselves, he's found a technicality which says, hey, we have a right to be there. A part of the space station is ours. And so we're going to do certain things to increase our presence in the space station to make sure that the Chinese can't use it, at least makes it more difficult to use it to do untoward things, military things against the United States. So in many ways, it's a very clever thing, although it remains to be seen to what degree that he will be successful in asserting that increased Argentine control. But I think it's, again, he's trying to thread the needle between saying, okay, politically, militarily, we're not going to ally ourselves with the Chinese. And the Chinese have been pretty upset about it and showing their displeasure. But you know, if companies want to sell the Chinese soy, pork, soybeans, lithium, go at it. So that's kind of been the distinction that Milei is made. But there's one that's not entirely clear to many people seeing it in the outside world, either on the Chinese side or on the more broadly. But I think to Milei as a libertarian, it's relatively clear in his mind.
To my quick survey, and you help me here, this is the first government in South America or Central America to confront China? Is that accurate? Confront them in a fashion that says you got sharp elbows and a big checkbook, but this is our land.
There have been various degrees of efforts. Again, previously in Argentina, when center-right government of Mauricio Macri came in, they actually questioned a lot of the Chinese deals, including the space station and including the really pork barrel projects to build dams in Cristina Fernandez's backyard in Santa Cruz province. But at the end of the day, the way that the Chinese had structured these deals contractually, for example, with Mauricio Macri, he quickly discovered that if he took away the Santa Cruz River dams, it would also put at risk risk another Chinese-funded project, the Belt and Road Cargo Railroad modernization, which essentially would have gravely prejudiced the business interests of his father, now deceased Francisco Macri. And so in the end, he did certain things against the Chinese, but not others. And I think we've seen other cases in Ecuador when you had Lenin Moreno come in after the Rafael Correa government that we talked about. He pushed back against some of the very corrupt practices, again, of people like previous Vice President Jorge Glass, some of the disastrous infrastructure project like the Coca-Cola-Sinclair Dam. But with Milei's very outspoken style, this is probably one of the most kind of publicly strongly worded or orientations that you've had from a leader. I think some of the other types of pushback by other leaders have been a little bit more subtle. And so this really, I think, highlights some of the differences and concerns.
Venezuela's government, Reuters, will allow six aides of opposition leader Maria Corina Machado, who are currently at the Argentine embassy in Caracas, to travel safely to Argentina. The aides, including campaign manager Magali Mida, previously tipped as a potential replacement for Machado's in this year's presidential election, sought protection at the embassy in March after the Attorney General's office in Caracas announced warrants for their arrest. Again, Milei's a stand-up guy. He's pushing back against Maduro. And last week we mentioned Milei was pushing back against Petro by saying factual things such as a terrorist and a communist. Is Milei looks to be picking fights with, he's punching up. That's the way it would be put in fight parlance. He's punching up. Does it work for him?
That's a great question, John. I think it works for him sometimes and not others. Again, we have to remember that he came up in his career not only as an economist and a pretty bright one at that, but also as a talk show pundit. And so you make points by saying things in a clear and dramatic way. And so he's really taken that on the campaign trail and into office. And I think to the consternation of many, he continues to use some of that strong and clever language again to talk about the Chinese as communists, to talk about some of the other leftists in the region, whether it's Lula da Silva in Brazil or Gustavo Petro in Colombia, who, as you alluded to, he called out his previous background as an M19 terrorist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think in many ways it sustains Argentine's faith in his sincerity, although it creates some problems. And so what you find is people like his foreign minister, Molino is constantly trying to put out fires, trying to tell the Chinese, okay, he said this about politics, but we want to keep doing business with you, et cetera, et cetera. With the fight that they had with Gustavo Petro over a series of insults that they exchanged there, again, Molino trying to paper that over, saying, okay, yeah, we really didn't want to break diplomatic relations. We value this. And so I think it works for him, but I think it creates a lot of headaches that those in his government are constantly running around trying to put out as well. So it cuts both ways. But also, you point out in Venezuela, you have a very grave situation with another type of lawfare that was used against the opposition trying to have a chance for the July 28th presidency, and the disqualification of Maria Corina Machado, the inability of her designated successor to be able to come to office to register Corina Yoris, and the situation now where essentially looking magnanimous, the Maduro administration in Venezuela is saying, okay, well, we will allow the six affiliates of Maria Corina Machado who have basically taken refuge in the Argentine embassy, yet another diplomatic refuge situation, will give them safe passage out of Argentina. So essentially, it makes Maduro look good. It makes it look like he, unlike Daniel Noboa in Ecuador, is respecting diplomatic immunity. It also kind of sets the stage to do what the Nicaraguans and others have done, saying, okay, you were accused of wrongdoing, and now we'll let you go scurrying to another country, like the traitors you are. So it's, in many ways, it shows the kind of complex way in which these tools of political charges, as well as things like diplomatic immunity, embassies, are used in these broader political battles across the region.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Strategic Studies Institute, The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.